And I couldn't believe how fast time had gone by. And I'm looking at the clock now and I'm saying, oh Lord, I've got plenty of time. I don't know what you're going to do here with your word, how you're going to stretch it out. But Lord, this is your deal and I'm just here for the show. Hey, I want to ask you all something before we get started. Anybody in here ever been in a battle of any kind? Two of you, three, come on, let's try it again. Anybody in here ever been in a battle? Okay. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, life in and of itself seems to be one consistent battle after another. Sometimes it's a battle for health. Over the weekend, I was blessed to go see my mama, and it was amazing. But I sat there and I looked at that lady, that grand southern lady that has just grown gracefully. And I see her battling with her epilepsy and with the strokes that she's had. And I see the toll that it's taken on her body, and it's been a battle for her. And that's a real battle. Sometimes we're in battles, and battles are financial. Anybody been through a financial battle? How about some of you local businessmen? You know what it is. You know, life is a battle. But the battle, there's a lot to be said about the battle in how you respond to the battle and not how you react to the battle. And tonight I'm going to try to help make some of you better warriors. I'm not a tough guy, but I got a big heart. And my heart tonight is to help you so that you don't fall to this story, the lie that the devil's trying to tell us, that when a battle comes that you're done and you're out and it's over for you. That's a lie. So tonight I'm going to try to teach you how to fight, so to say. And I'm going to try to help you to overcome some of those lies that the devil throws at us. And I want you to see what God has in store for you in the light of the battle. Tonight, as we talk about battles, I want to talk specifically about the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to do some reading for you. So bear with me. I'm going to start in chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to jump a little bit. We will not read the entire chapter just to save some time. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, starting in verse number 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Jump down to verse number 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face toward all the ground. And all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the son of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And look with me in verse 20 to 22. It says, Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he consulted with his people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and praise, jump with me to verse 28. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. Here we have a story about a king named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat is in his court, and the people of his court come to him and say, that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, are coming to battle against Jehoshaphat. I want you to see something here in verse number 3. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Jehoshaphat reacted to the news that he had got that he was under siege, that the kingdom was being overrun by these foreign groups of peoples and also by sea from Syria. He reacted, but he did not respond. Many times when we enter into a battle, our first inclination is to react and go into survival mode. Many times that mode that kicks in is that illustration or that action of being fearful. But that is not God's plan for you to react in a battle with fear. God has a different plan, and I'm going to show you what that plan is here in the next few minutes. As believers, we are seemingly surprised, troubled, and even confused when we find ourselves in a battle and experiencing tribulation. Tribulation defined as adversity or difficulty, distress and hardship and pain, persecution, severe suffering, trials and troubles, and afflictions. We read all that and we don't want any part of that. I know myself, I don't like I don't like drama, and I don't like confrontation. But you know what? If you push me long enough and hard enough, we're going to have confrontation. Amen? That's just going to happen. Okay? Just so we're on the same page. Confrontation will come. Amen. But, you know, here's the thing. Sometimes we want to avoid the very thing that will get us through the battle. Many times you're going to have to look into the face of the battle and stare at your enemy and say, I know who you are, and I'm not intimidated, because I know that greater is he that lives in me than him that's inside of you. And you take one more step across that line, and I'm going to knock your socks off spiritually. Believe it or not, I used to get in trouble from Pastor Ron because I know none of you will believe this, but it used to be a few years back when I was a little much younger that I used to have a problem controlling my temper, and I would like to act out physically. You know, I would lay hands on people suddenly, you know, and you know, I would, you know, embrace them, you know, in love and, you know, and all that. And I'm just telling you all a big story here. But the truth of the matter is none of us want to go through tribulation. We don't like adversity, and we don't like difficulty, and we don't like distress, and we don't like hardship and pain. We don't want persecution. We don't want severe suffering. We don't want trials, tribulations, and afflictions. But Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, there's some things in God's word, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that that's truth. In your lifetime, in my lifetime, if we combined everybody's experiences in here, we could write a book of the many afflictions of the righteous. But we could also testify to the goodness and the greatness of our God, that he has delivered us from all those things. Amen? God will see us through. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4 says this, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed for this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. It says that we are appointed for this. I go back to Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Have you confessed and professed the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then you are righteous because of the righteousness of Christ. You know, this is not a message to bring you down. This is actually going to get better here in the next couple minutes. I'm just kind of pacing myself with the clock here. So I'm trying to set my pace. See, it's kind of like if I'm running with Brad in a race, which that would never happen, Brad. But if I were going to run with Brad in a race, I'd pace myself. While he's running, I'm going to be riding on my scooter, you know. Eventually, I'm going to pass him on a hill and take over. But I'm pacing myself, so bear with me here a second. I'm just getting seated in, saddled up, and getting ready to get going. Tonight, I want to give you 7 battle strategies for waging successful war. 7 battle strategies for waging successful warfare. Number one, know your enemy. Know your enemy. You know, I'd like to think that sometimes my enemy is that person in the back with the great big mouth that runs their mouth all the time, and all they do is just spew garbage left and right all over everybody. People that think they know it all, seen it all, done it all, experienced it all in all. You know what I'm saying? But you know, that person is not my enemy. That is not my enemy. That is a person that needs my love, and the person that needs my patience, that person that needs my acceptance, and that person that needs me to come alongside them and say, hey, look, I'm just here for you. They're not my enemy. Know your enemy, number one. Your enemy is not flesh and blood, regardless of how they act or what they say. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let me read that again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If you think somebody physically is your enemy, you need to go to them and say, look, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe I do know, but I'm sorry. I want to get this straight between me and you. Because I don't want this to hinder my relationship with me and my God. And I don't want it to hinder my relationship with you. If we can work this out, let's work this out. And if we can't, I'll see you. I'll pray for you. If you need me, call me. That's how I want to roll. My battle is not with flesh and blood. My battle is with principalities. The Bible says here, or it's against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. These are all spiritual entities, spiritual beings. I owe the guys in the sound booth an apology already. Guys, look, if some of my verses ain't up there, or if they are, I changed up at the last minute, so forgive me. John 10:10 says, a thief does not come except to kill, steal, and to destroy. You want to know who your enemy is? It's the Joker that does those three things. Whatever comes to kill, steal, and destroy, whether it's stealing your joy, whether it's stealing your peace, whatever it is, that's not of God. That's not of God. The first battle strategy is know your enemy. Strategy number two is you should always expect the battle. You should always expect the battle. Because the enemy is going to come, and when he's going to come, he's not going to come on your door and, hello, Boy Scout cookies. It's not going to happen. He's going to come with some kind of nonsense. That's going to turn your world upside down if you let it. He's going to steal your peace. He's going to steal your joy. He's going to try to turn your world upside down. He's going to try to get you mad at your wife, going to try to get you mad at your husband, going to try to get you upset with your boss, going to try to get you upset with the folks at church, try to get you upset with the folks at work, going to try to just ruin your whole day because all he wants to do is to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And if he can kill you in the middle of it, or destroy you in the middle of it, he'll do it. Number one, know your enemy. Number two, expect the battle. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Well, man, that's really a bummer. You know, That means you can be doing all the right things for God, according to God's word, trying to live in God's word and trying to do right, and you know what? You're still going to suffer persecution. But you know what? I actually believe that there's a purpose for persecution in all this, and we're going to see what it is here in a minute. I want to give you an example of this. I thought this was such a wonderful example. Acts chapter 14, I'm going to read to you verse 1 through 7 about Paul and Barnabas, and I want to give you a little, I'm going to jump around here and just read part of it. I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time. And it says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, talking about Paul and Barnabas, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there for a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And a violent attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse them and to stone Paul and Barnabas. And when they became aware of it, Paul looked at Barnabas and said, "Let's bounce." And they fled to Lystra and Derbe. No, it doesn't really say that. It said, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe. cities of Lycaonia and the surrounding area, and they were preaching the gospel there. Paul and Barnabas were in Iconium, and it says that the grace of God was upon them, and signs and wonders were being done by their hands. Multitudes of Jews and Greeks believed, and yet what happened? The rulers of both Jews and Gentiles decided to abuse them and stone them. Well, man, what did they do wrong? They didn't do anything wrong. They were just doing what God called them to do. But here they were. They were going to be stoned. They were going to be abused. Now look over in verses 19 through 22. It says, when the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when he had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, he returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. I believe it is an unrealistic expectation that every moment of our life is to be full of blessings, benefits, and divine protection, and that we should somehow be exempted from having tasted the battle and its tribulations. The third battle strategy that I want to share with you is to rejoice in the battle. John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, and these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. This promise is conditional. In him, in Jesus, you may have peace regardless of what you're battling. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, earnestly and humbly, giving thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but do everything by prayer with thanksgiving. You know, I think sometimes that we don't thank God enough for everything that we go through. We don't thank him enough even for the bad times. You know, there's something to be learned in the good, and there's something to be learned in the bad. And you know, I don't want to dishonor my Lord by being ungrateful for whatever it is that he's trying to teach me, because sometimes, you know what, I still write with fat crayons, you know, and sometimes I feel like I miss it. And I'm like, God, you know, I don't know where I missed it, but how did I miss it? And he said, let's go back and let's go look at it again. He's got something he wants to teach us about battling, folks, and I hope this helps you tonight. Number four, speak to your battle. Speak to your battle. Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When the battle rises up and the fires are burning and things are going crazy and everything all seems like all hell has broken loose, that's when you need to stand up and you say, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. You need to use the word as a weapon. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Speak to the battle. What are you speaking? Faith-filled words. Speak the word. Faith-filled words. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Speak the word. Faith-filled words. God, I'm sick. No. I'm going to speak that I am healed. I'm going to speak that I am the head and not the tail. People may call me the tail. People may tell me that I'm nothing but dirt on the bottom of their shoe, but I'm speaking that I am part of the head and I am not part of the tail. That I'm an overcomer. That I am a new creation in Christ. That he loves me. That I'm his masterpiece. And that in him, I am all things. I can be anything. Because of him in me. Speak it. believe it, profess it, confess it. Follow the word. Stephen Furtick said this, faith is not the absence of doubt, it is the means to overcome it. That is really good. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it is the means to overcome it. I want to read this to you out of 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. The king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army to Dothan, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And so he answered, "Do not fear." What is fear? Fear is the absence of faith. He's telling him, you've got a faith moment here. It's coming. You got a faith moment. This is a faith exercise. Look at here. He says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and saw and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and he beheld that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Folks, when you can't do anything but speak faith, if you can't do anything but, "God, protect me, take care of me, God, open my eyes and show me what you've got going on, because God, it just seems like me against these three. God's got a plan." Elisha prayed, and this young man's eyes were open, and he saw the hosts of heaven and the chariots of fire and the horses, and he saw that the army that was surrounding them was greater than the enemy that was surrounding them there. God will take care of you. Elisha said, "Do not fear. Fear is the absence of faith." Okay. Everyone who hears my voice tonight is engaged in a battle. Whether you believe it or not, you're engaged. You may not know it yet, but it's coming. Hold on. Mark it in your book. There's a battle coming. A spiritual battle cannot be successfully fought with fleshly weapons. You know, as much as I like to, sometimes I just want to grab people by the nape of their neck, you know, and kind of bounce them a little bit, you know, and just kind of, but you know what? That proves nothing. It fixes nothing. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is in the spiritual realm. You know, love works. When are we going to start loving people? You know, when I first came here, Pastor loved me even though I was stupid. And sometimes, you know, well, I'm not, never mind. We won't even touch that. We'll just leave that alone. A spiritual battle cannot be fought with fleshly weapons. To have the victory in all spiritual battle requires that we utilize spiritual weapons from heaven's arsenal. Prayer, seeking God, seeking the Lord, and fasting are all spiritual weapons that are available to us all and are to be used in spiritual battles. I want you to see from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in these verses, I want you to see how examples of how Jehoshaphat responded to the battle after he learned to respond and not to react. Remember, don't react, respond. How did Jehoshaphat respond? In verse 3, Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Verse 4, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Now first it was Jehoshaphat seeking the Lord, now we've got the cities coming in to seek the Lord. And then it says in verse 5 that Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord and prayed. So they went from seeking the Lord to praying to the Lord and asking and interceding. In verse 13 it says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. You know, what a wonderful thing when we can come together congregately with all the babies, with all the little kids, with all the younger kids, with all the teenagers, with all the young adults, with all the older adults, with all the really old adults, you know, and we can all get together and we can come and seek the Lord. God, what is your plan for this body of believers here, God? God, show us, lead us, guide us, direct us, Father. Father, establish your plan, your purpose, your vision, your goal in this place. And God, use us to help that come to fruition. Help us to be used to bring it to pass. I got to run. 8:05. Evaluate the battle. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. This is what Jehoshaphat said. For we have no power against this great multitude is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We must focus our focus. We must keep our focused. This is one of those things that Tina and I like to call, God, you got mail. When you finally understand that you have absolutely no power to fix the present circumstance, situation that you're going through, you have no ability to fix it. You know, I'm blessed. I have one of these jobs where I have a magnificent, wonderful title that means absolutely nothing. Other than I'm the guy that they point the finger at when everything goes south, I'm the one they point their finger at and say, it's your fault. And I sit at my desk and I sometimes look at the paperwork and I look at the emails and I look at all the hate mail that comes in and I say, God, I cannot fix any of this nonsense. What am I going to do? And this little voice that sounds much like my wife goes, God, you've got mail. And so what do? I get up, I grab my Bible, I go into the men's washroom, I lock the door, and I go in there and I'm praying. God, you have got to give me some peace. God, you've got to give me some victory. God, you've got to give me some direction. God, you're going to have to help me because I don't know what to do. There's nothing that I can do, but God, I need your help. And guess what? As I evaluate the battle, God sometimes, in his very, very funny ways, he'll bring an answer, you know, and the Holy Spirit will say to me, you know, well, did you ever think about just saying, well, according to institutional policy, blah, 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 just quote back to them what they've already quoted to you and say, that's impossible. Well, then that makes people mad, but you know what? Truth hurts. Number 7. Endure the battle by entrusting the battle to your God. Verses number 14, 15, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. You know, that takes some big moxie, man, to stand up before the king and tell the king, hey, listen, dude, you need to listen. That takes a pretty big bone, you know, backbone, to tell the king, hey, you need to listen. But that's what he said. He said, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Why? Because fear is the absence of faith, nor dismayed, which means to lose courage, because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord is with you. You endure the battle by entrusting the battle to God when you do this. It's really simple. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. The strategies that I gave you again were this. 1, know your enemy. 2, expect a battle. 3, rejoice in the battle. 4, speak to the battle. 5, we shared some examples of how to respond to the battle according to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 6, evaluate the battle. Understand that there's nothing that you can do but trust God. And 7, endure the battle by entrusting the battle to your God. Now I want to turn to the book of Exodus. And we're going to go to the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. And I want to give you a little bit of history about what has taken place here. Moses had gone before Pharaoh in Egypt, and he had made many demands to Pharaoh to let God's people go. And of course, we know all the stories about the plagues, and we know about all that transpired during that time and how it was one thing after another with Pharaoh. And finally, there comes a time when Pharaoh tells Moses, hey, get your people and get out of my country. I want you to leave. I'm done. I want you to leave. You got to go. And in Exodus chapter 14, you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 through 31, it tells a story about how Israel had experienced deliverance at the Red Sea. And then in Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 25, it tells how God gave the Israelites water to drink out of the rock. And in Exodus chapter 16, verses 12 through 17, they were fed with manna from heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had seen the great victory at the Red Sea that God done and delivered the Israelite people from the Egyptians, that it wouldn't take anything much else to make a believer out of me. You know what I'm saying? To see something like that. But then for God to give them water to drink and food to eat, I'm sure that the Israelites thought, you know, we've got it pretty good. We've got it made. You know, what more is there? You know, the Egyptians have been defeated. We're drinking cold water. We're eating manna till we have our fill. But look with me in Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to start in verses 8 and go through verse 13. It says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. There's an interesting portion of this battle that's recorded here. And it's this, that God makes the victory of Israel here in this passage to depend not upon the bravery of the soldiers fighting in the battle and not to the skill of Joshua, the commanding general. But the victory of Israel depended upon the man of God who stands on top of a hill with his hands lifted in intercession and prayer to God. Did you get that? It says here that Moses' hands had become heavy. And said that when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, and so they took a stone again, and they put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. I think that's really interesting, and I think that's a very clear word for us as a body, a corporate body of Christ here. And I'd like to ask you, as we begin to wrap this up, to listen very closely to what I have to say. Because I really feel that none of this whole thing is not me. I'm not here to try to be an eloquent speaker, because I'm not, and I'm not the most educated individual, and I'm just me. But I really believe, I know that this is a word from the Lord for us. And I want you to hear it. Just as Aaron and Hur stood by Moses' side and held up his arms to ensure victory against Amalek, God teaches us here in this passage that no man can do it all by himself. He must have helpers. As a man, we might be willing to do it all by ourselves and try to do it by ourselves, but it cannot be sustained without help. And without help, it cannot succeed. We are all human, and we are all but dust and frail. Body of Christ, I strongly believe that we must stand alongside Pastor Ron and Pastor Connie and support them by all means as battles rage. We must be diligent not only to pray for them and to offer them support, but we need to offer ourselves to be helpers, shouldering responsibilities and providing words of encouragement to them. Just as Aaron and Hur stood on the mountainside and held up the hands of the man of God who prayed during the battle. I want to read this verse to you out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. It says, "And Jesus gave some to be apostles, some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and causes growth for the body, for the edifying itself in love." Folks, if love works, it's only going to work if we, in the midst of the battles, whatever the battle may be, it doesn't matter, that we're there to support, to stand alongside, and to lift the arms of the man and the woman of God who God has placed here as our shepherd, as our leaders. That is our responsibility and that is our duty. And we have an obligation to do so. I've got something else I want to share with you that the Lord gave me. Likewise, we must pray for and offer support for our elders. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, have confidence. That word confidence says a relationship of trust. So it says, have a relationship of trust in your elders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So, you know, so many times we think it's just, well, you know, I'm in my own little battle. You know, poor me, poor Steve. Steve's going through his little battle at work today. And he's fighting, you know, he's fighting tooth and nail, you know, with all these evil, wicked folks, you know. Folks, listen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. It's about every one of us. Doing battle together for the corporate good of this body of believers that is here. And if we are to see this body grow and this body to flourish, and for this body to be what people see as they look on the back of this sign that love works, a place where love flourishes, we're going to have to fight some battles. We can't turn and run from the battle. We have to run to the battle. You know, it's kind of like where I work, you know, when they tone the radio, you know, and the tone goes off, you know, it's boot scoot boogie, you know. Everybody's shagging to get to wherever it's at, because somebody's in trouble. And we have one plan, one purpose, one mission, and one goal. And folks, I want you to understand from the depths of my heart, I know that I'm not an eloquent speaker. But this one thing I do know is this: the battle is not yours. It's not mine. It's God's. And God will fight our battles for us. One of the hardest lessons that I've ever learned from Pastor Ron was, he would tell me when I would act out in anger or when I would act out physically with people, he would say, look, do not defend yourself. God will defend you. God will defend you. And I didn't want to hear that. But you know, it's true. God will vindicate us. God will defend us. God will care for us. God will provide for us, because he loves us. There is a way for us to overcome any obstacle, and it's through him. But folks, I believe that as we learn to be warriors, and we learn to do battle according to God's way of battling, and we learn that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and that our battle is not with our neighbor with the big mouth or the person that thinks they know it all. Once we learn all that, we can stand back and say, you know what? It truly is about loving people and accepting people unconditionally. And we can move forward in the battle, and we can embrace people, and they can say, you know, why did you do that? Because God did it for me. He loved me, and he did it for me, and he's doing it for you so that you can do it for the next person, and we can replicate that love throughout this community. Folks, all I know is this: God is faithful. That which he has said he will do, he will do. God will not lie. God cannot fail. I believe with all my heart, with all that's in me, that we need to become Aaron's and her to our pastors. We need to honor and trust our elders. We need to pray for those in leadership. And for those of us, do something. Do something. There is no big thing, no little thing. Do something. How do we fight these battles? We fight them spiritually, not physically. How do we win the battles? With love, with humility, full of grace and mercy. Oh, but for the grace of God. Folks, I hope that these few little points, this is nothing new. You've heard this from our pastor. You've heard this from other speakers. You've heard things like this from many, many other people. But for whatever reason, I guess the Holy Spirit thought it was a refresher class tonight. So I pray you got something out of it. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, I can only say that I'm trusting you to do whatever it was that you wanted done. Lord, you know my heart. I did what you told me to do. And to the best of my ability, physically, humanly, but however possibly, Lord, I tried to share with that which you put in front of me. Now, Lord, may we be hearers and doers of the word. May we take the word that we heard tonight and may we be responsible adults to it and become doers of the word. And Father, we lift up this body of believers here, Lord God, each and every one, those that are here, those that are not here tonight, those that are in the back, wherever they may be. Lord, we just lift them up to you. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray for the battles that they're going through. And Lord God, refresh them, encourage them, strengthen them, supply for them, God, meet their needs, God, meet them where they're at. And Father, show yourself to be real to them. And God, may they understand that they can throw their hands up and say, God, the battle is yours, it's not mine. God, you've got mail. And Lord, may we trust you with that. And thank you for the plan and the purpose that you have for our lives in this place, in this community, in this county, and in this state, wherever we may go. And Father, we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you got 2 minutes. And then we can go get the kids. All right, thank you.